What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Boombox Guru, music commentary and music discussion for music lovers. I'm your host, LB, and we got a very good episode for you guys today. So if you don't want to miss out, tune in and keep it locked in. What's good, everybody? I want to welcome you all to another episode of the Boombox Guru. I'm your host, LB. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about my top 10 favorite groove metal albums. Now, for those of you who don't know what groove metal is, this is how Wikipedia actually defines and describes the genre. And it says that groove metal is a subgenre of heavy metal music that began in the early 1990s. The genre achieved mainstream success in the 1990s and continued having more success in the 2000s. Inspired by thrash metal and traditional heavy metal, groove metal features raspy singing and screaming, down-tuned guitars, heavy guitar riffs, and syncopated rhythms. Unlike thrash metal, groove metal is usually slower and also uses elements of traditional heavy metal. Pantera are often considered the pioneers of groove metal, and groove metal expanded in the 1990s with bands like White Zombie, Machine Head, Skin Lab, and Sepultura. The genre continued in the 2000s with bands like Lamb of God, Damage Plan, Five Finger Death Punch, and Hell Yeah. But yes, groove metal is honestly one of my top favorite subgenres in heavy metal music. And you know, there's a lot of people out there who have their criticisms about the genre, but I tend to like it. I listen to it quite a bit. A lot of my favorite metal bands have either incorporated that style in some form or fashion in some of their albums sometime in their career, or some of my favorite metal bands have been described as purely groove metal. But yeah, I just wanted to do this episode, and hopefully, you know, maybe if you guys aren't familiar out there with groove metal, maybe some of these picks on my list will be your gateway into what I believe is an awesome genre. So if you don't want to miss out on my top 10 favorite groove metal albums, stay tuned and keep it locked in. This is the Boombox Guru. So coming in at number 10, we have Machine Head with The More Things Change, released in 1997. This is their second album and their follow-up to their classic debut, Burn My Eyes. And in comparison to Burn My Eyes, The More Things Change is a lot slower in pace. Although it does still retain some of those thrashier elements that were found on Burn My Eyes, Struck My Nerve being a great example of that. Most of the songs on here are a lot more mid-paced. The guitars are more down-tuned, giving it a lot more of a heavier and aggressive sound. And all around, this song is just a lot more darker and angrier, and I will add emotional, than Burn My Eyes was. And sonically, the music with the groove-laden riffs, they're just very slow and droggy and very dreary, and it really helps to evoke the anger and emotion that Rob Flynn is trying to employ here. And one thing that I like about this album, too, is that Rob Flynn, he decided to add a bit more of his clean singing next to his harsher vocals, which it really showcased that Rob Flynn is an all-around great singer as well. But I just really like how this was such a darker album, and it really helped to invoke the emotion and the pain that Rob Flynn wanted to demonstrate. And it might, on first listen, it might take you a few minutes or a few listens to really get into what the album is doing, because I know for me, on first listen, I didn't really dig the album that much, but I decided to revisit it, sit back with it, and just take it in, and I was able to start picking out different songs that I enjoyed and different elements of different songs that I really dug about it. So I still do recommend The More Things Change as a great album to listen to within Machine Head's discography. So coming in at number 9, we have Meshuggah with Chaosphere. Now, this album right here was a turning point for Meshuggah, because it actually was the record where you start to see where Meshuggah would become. Like the Meshuggah that we know today, which most people will label as the godfathers of djent, or basically the inventors of the djent style of music, this is where that started to begin. Although it wasn't as profound yet. So I will say that this album, it pretty much downplayed the more thrash metal elements that they had on previous records, and they started to add a lot more of that groove oriented style that would dominate most of their music from then on. Although nowadays most people will call it djent, I still consider this as more of a progressive groove metal album, in my opinion. And the way that Meshuggah pulled it off was very interesting, because they did it in their own way. Meshuggah has always been a very interesting and unique band within the metal scene. So I was really taken aback about how they was able to take that groove metal sound and just make it into their own and just turn it into something new. Because like I said, Chaosphere is an album that pretty much started to lay the groundwork and the foundation for what would later on become djent. And it was also a turning point that set the stage for where Meshuggah would take their sound on later releases, such as Nothing, Obzin, you know, Coloss, and even their most recent album, The Violent Sleeper Reason. So Chaosphere is definitely an awesome album. That's why I made my list of top 10 groove metal albums my favorite top 10 groove metal albums. So coming in at number 8, we have Prong with Beg to Differ. I definitely had to put Beg to Differ on this list, because to me, this album doesn't get a lot of credit for being one of the early pioneering albums in the beginning stages of when groove metal was starting to really make its move in the metal scene. I think it gets overshadowed a lot by Pantera's Cowboys from Hell, because both of these records came out in the same year, 1990. But Beg to Differ is an awesome album, and it was a transitional record from thrash metal to the more groove sound. Although I will say that Prong didn't necessarily just stick with the groove metal sound. You know, the next two albums after this, they started to add in other elements of like industrial and so forth. But this is really cool because, you know, Prong came from more of a New York hardcore crossover thrash background. Their previous record, Force Fed, was a full-fledged crossover thrash record. And it's cool how they managed to take those elements of hardcore punk and crossover thrash and fuse it with the then burgeoning groove metal sound. So compared to the previous record, Beg to Differ, it does slow things down a bit. There are a bit more mid-paced groove-laden songs, such as the title track, Beg to Differ, which comes in kind of a bit fast and heavy, but then once it gets to the hook and the verses, it starts to slow things down a bit, but it still maintains its heaviness throughout the record. You know, the music is still interesting throughout the record, but I just had to put this album on this list because I think it gets underrated and it's overlooked and gets overshadowed by other records that might have been more popular at the time. But it's definitely a top 10 album in my opinion. So coming in at number 7, I decided to go with Slayer's Diabolus in Musica. And this is an interesting one because this has to be the most controversial album in Slayer's discography, because most Slayer fans really hate this record because it came out during the time when the flavor of the day was nu metal. And some of those elements are somewhat implemented into Slayer sound. You know, majority of the record, well, actually all the songs were written by Jeff Hanneman, and he decided to do something different. He decided to be more experimental with Slayer sound while at the same time keeping it Slayer. So it's not necessarily a thrash metal album, although the thrash elements are still there. You know, there's a lot of songs where there's parts where things, you know, speed up and it's full-fledged thrash, but for the most part, they keep it kind of mid-paced. They slow things down a bit, but it's still dark. And the album is still a lot heavier than a lot of stuff that was coming out within that, I guess you want to say, mainstream metal scene at the time. You know, in my opinion, Diabolus in Musica, yes, it is Slayer's most polarizing record. You know, it turned some fans off. But for me, I think that's what's so interesting and brilliant about the record is that Slayer actually did something different. They took a chance, and you know, whatever the case, I think it paid off. I think they did good. And it was really cool to see how they was able to be more experimental with their sound while at the same time maintaining their identity. Now, one thing that I can say about this record is that there are some parts and there are some songs where Slayer kind of sounds like System of a Down. Keep in mind that when Diabolus and Musica came out, System of a Down and Slayer were label mates. They were both signed to American Records. Rick Rubin produced both albums, and they were also touring together. You know, Death's Head, that's the main song that I can say where the rhythm, when the rhythm comes in and when Tom starts to sing, it sounds like System of a Down a little bit. I mean, the rhythm sounds like a System of a Down type track. And Tom, when he's speaking, when he's singing vocally, like his shouts kind of sound similar to Surge. You know, I just wanted to point that out. And maybe that was a point of contention with a lot of fans because, you know, System of a Down has always been thrown in that new metal category. So maybe that was one thing that people picked up on and they noticed that the band was adding those elements into her sound. But I still think that Diabolus and Musica is a solid album. You know, is it Slayer's best record? No, not by any means, in my opinion. To somebody else, maybe it is, but it's definitely a solid record. I think it's underrated, and I think if people when really look back at it in retrospect, they will see the brilliance of it, that it was really cool how Jeff made these songs and experimented with Slayer's sound while still maintaining their identity. And they didn't sell out by any means either. So coming in at number six, I have Testament with Low. Now, Low, this has to be the heaviest groove metal album that I've ever heard. I don't think anything on my list come close except for maybe Chaosphere by Meshuggah. But any other album on this list, none of them are as heavy as Low. I mean, this was also a turning point for Testament because this was the first album without Alex Skolnick, and I think it might have been the last one with their drummer Lou Clementi, but they just decided to go heavier with this record. You know, they said forget what the other bands in thrash are doing. Most of them are either going commercial or they're hopping on trends or whatever. Hey, we're gonna take this groove metal thing and we're just gonna make it more extreme, and that's what they did. I mean, Chuck Billy, his vocal performance on here, I mean, anybody that knows Testament know that Chuck Billy is just a great vocalist. He's so versatile, the different types of ranges that he can do with his voice, man, it's just amazing. But he just gets really like almost guttural and just really I guess a little menacing with his vocal tone right here. But he also does real good as he's also a real good singer as well. But he just gets really extreme with his vocals on this album, man. And the musicianship on here really backs it up, man. It's just an all-out pummeling groove metal album. And I haven't heard any other groove metal album that sounds as heavy as Low. Like, honestly, even Pantera wasn't being this heavy, in my opinion. Maybe, I would say maybe their Southern Trendkill album could come close to that, but honestly, I don't even think Pantera was coming as heavy as Testament did on Low. And like I just said, you know, this was a turning point for them too, because after this record, Testament just kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier, man. And you know, a lot of people don't even like Low for some reason. I've seen online where people just bash this record, and I don't know why, because I think it's a wonderful album. I really commend them for taking that groove metal style, which was very popular amongst a lot of bands at that time, and just making it more harsher and aggressive. So I commend a Testament for churning out a classic and underrated album, in my opinion. So at number five, we have Sepultura with Chaos AD. Again, this is another album that was a turning point from a great band. Chaos AD was the album where Sepultura really started to add in their Brazilian culture in the sound, as well as what people would call world music. They started adding in those tribal elements. They just really started to get more experimental with their sound on this record while still maintaining their heaviness and their aggression. But the thrash metal element it's not there as much as it was on the previous records. They do slow things down a bit and get more groovier. Territory is a great example of that. Territory, the tracks Amen. Territory in particular, man, there's this one part. It's not really a guitar solo, but it's like towards the, it's like a bridge where the riffs just really come more dominant in the song, and it just has this really neat groove to it that I just really enjoy. And I just really like how this record managed to just take Sepultura to the next level and make them a household name in metal. I mean, they were already a household name, but this set the stage for what Roots would become. And it's just an all-around great record, man. You know, they took a risk, man, by just slowing things down and adding in those elements of world music and their Brazilian heritage, man. I just think it's really cool how they just did that and set themselves apart and cemented their legacy in metal. So, coming in at number four, we have Anthrax with Sound of White Noise. Another interesting pick and another turning point. Like, a lot of these albums in this, a lot of these albums are turning points for a lot of these bands. Sound of White Noise was the first album without Joey Belladonna. The first one with John Bush, who at the time was formerly of Armored Saint. And then, of course, it was a whole new sound. You know, the thrash metal elements were gone, because thrash metal wasn't the flavor of the day anymore. So they started adding in more of the modern 90s metal, alternative metal stylings, and then, of course, groove metal elements come in there, because, you know, these guys were touring with bands like Pantera and White Zombie around this time, too. A lot of people tend to call Sound of White Noise a grunge album. I beg to differ. There may be, you could make an argument with that with songs such as Only and Black Lodge, but for the most part, I would say that this is more of like a groove metal, alternative metal record. It does have that 90s heavy metal feel to it. It's not as heavy as some of these other records I've just named. It is a bit more on the lighter commercial side, but I still think it's a great album. I really think it's a bit more melodic, too, compared to previous records that the band had done. And it's probably my favorite album within the John Bush era. And it's arguably, well, not arguably, but it is one of my all-time favorite Anthrax albums. I listen to it on a regular basis quite often. So definitely a huge turning point in the band's career. You know, I think most people cite this as the best album that they did during this period. You know, their other albums kind of hit or miss during this era, but definitely one that people should check out, and I think should have been more successful when it came out, but their label at the time kind of messed up. So at number three, we have Stuck Mojo with Rising. Now, Stuck Mojo is mainly known as a rap metal band, but they were also very much groove metal as well, and in other stylings too. Like Stuck Mojo, they were what is really a rap metal band, because they play metal. And Rich Ward, man, his signature guitar tone, man, it's just amazing on this record, man, because he was doing a lot of different things, man. This is another interesting album to come from this period, because he took groove metal and he blended it with like southern rock and blues rock and country. And he just churned out an awesome album with his songwriting. You know, it's just an amazing record, man. Some of my favorite tracks on here would have to be Trick, Back Up in the Saddle, you know, Enemy. Enemy is one of the heaviest songs from Stuck Mojo. It's heavy, it's melodic, and oh man, the pummeling groove that is displayed on this record is just, it's just out of this world, man. I enjoy listening to Rising quite a bit, man. It's one of my top favorite Stuck Mojo albums, and it was also one of the best-selling albums to come off of Century Media. And you know, this is a very underrated album. Stuck Mojo is a very underrated band, but the way that Rich was able to blend that groove metal styling with other different genres of music, he just made this just another unique record amongst groove metal bands and amongst the groove metal sound. And I would say that he's a huge contributor or even pioneer of this genre as well, that doesn't get a lot of credit for what he's brought to the table when it comes to this type of music. So then we get to number two. And number two is White Zombie's Los Exorcistos. Now, this album holds a special place for me because this was one of the first metal albums that I heard that set me on the path to getting into heavier metal music. Because I used to be a bit intimidated about getting into more extreme forms of metal. You know, I kind of played it safe for a little bit, but this album right here set me on that trajectory to just dive headfirst into it. You know, I don't know what was the first song I heard off this album. I think it was Welcome to Planet MF. I think that was the first song I heard off this record. And right then and there, I was sold because I liked that Rob Zombie's vocal tone on that record. It kind of sounded like he was kind of mixing his rapping with, not rapping, but he was like singing and rapping together at the same time. That's the way he sounded. But I just liked the riffs on here, the pummeling riffs and that bass and the drumming. It was just awesome. Very smooth and groove laden, like, man. And how they managed to blend the groove with like sludgy like metal and stoner rock and alternative metal. They did a lot of interesting things, man. Not to mention they blended it with 60s dance music and dance rock and that whole counterculture. How they just did that, man. It's a very unique album all around, not just in groove metal or in metal, period. It's just an interesting album all around, man. And you know, even though Rob Zombie tends to favor Astro Creep over this record, I will say that I think Los Exorcistos is the better record because it was unique. They were doing something different with their sound than nobody else was doing. And they set themselves apart because when this record first came out, nobody really knew how to market them. Nobody knew where to place them because they were different. They didn't look like a lot of the metal bands that were out during this period. They were totally different. And I think that's what makes this record so brilliant, is that they were unique and they managed to be individuals amongst such a huge and vast community, you know. But one thing I want to point out before I move on is that Jay Ewinger, the lead guitarist in Light Zombie at this point, this was the first studio album he did with them. He's first appeared on the God of Thunder EP. But he doesn't get enough credit for being a pioneering guitarist within groove metal, because he was a guitarist that really came in and helped to define and develop that sound. And I've even heard that Dimebag Darrell was inspired by him when he heard him play on the God of Thunder EP. And he is the one that really brought White Zombie to fully embrace the heavy metal sound. Because if you listen to some of their stuff before then, they had more of a punky noise rock sound. But his songwriting and his skills is what really brought them more into that groove metal sound. So I just want to give him a shout out and give him the credit that he really deserves. So last and certainly not least, we come to my number one top 10 favorite groove metal album, and that is Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power. Now, the first time I heard this album, I was totally blown away. Just like Los Exorcistos, this record really just pushed me on forward to getting into heavier metal music. I heard Mouth of War. And when those pummeling groovy riffs came in, that walking bass from Rex, and then, you know, Vinnie Paul's drumming, Dimebag's riffs, and then when Phil Anselmo comes in singing those screamed hardcore vocals, I was sold. I was like, man, I've never heard anything like this before. This is awesome. This sounds right. This is being done right. Just an awesome record, man. And it's a legendary album. I mean, Cowboys from Hell is a great record too, man. But Vulgar Display of Power, this is where Pantera really became Pantera, in my opinion. This is where they hit their stride and they didn't stop. Well, they did stop, but I mean, I'm just saying, for the remainder of the 90s, man, they were on one. And Vulgar the Player is the one that really took them to that next level. And no pun intended, because, you know, one of my favorite songs on here is A New Level. Well, then it's not a pun, it's a different title. Sorry. But anyway, disregard that. You know, it took them to the next level, man. You know, this really made them stars. It just put them up there. It put them on that pedestal, man. It was a great record, man. And I wish I could have been of a certain age when this record came out to really witness and experience that, man, because it was huge. And its legacy is being felt still in metal. A lot of these albums are, but Void of Slayer Power inspired so many other bands to come along. It inspired Rob Flynn. It inspired him when he left Violence to take on a new approach. You know, it inspired him to do Machine Head and Burn My Eyes. Like, Void of Slayer Power, man, that legacy is felt all through the metal community, man. Like, how many people are still trying to mimic, or how many people are still inspired by Dimebag's riffs, man? And then the song Walk is like, that's Pantera's signature song. One of their signature songs, because they got many, man, but it's a huge hit. It was a huge hit, and it really spoke to a generation, and I think the legacy of this record is still being felt. You know, it was aggressive, but it was harsh, but it still managed to be a huge success in the metal scene, man. And it's just an awesome album. That's really all I can really say about it. It's just an awesome album. And they really, I don't know if they realized it, man, but they were really creating the next generation to come behind them. Because I would say that a lot of the new metal bands were inspired by Vulgar Display of Power or Pantera in general, but they really just set the stage, and I don't know if they realized it, but they were helping to shape and mold the next generation of music, man. Because I think that the impact that Vulgar Display of Power had on the metal scene back in the 90s is still being felt today. I think that this is the quintessential gateway album, and not only to groove metal, but to getting into extreme and heavier forms of metal in general, because it definitely was for me, man. And you know, it's unfortunate, man, that, you know, Pantera is no more, because it would be awesome to see all those guys on stage again performing these songs, man. But you know, they definitely left a lasting legacy with their sound, man. And to me, this is where Pantera really became Pantera, where they really owned that sound. They weren't the first ones to do it, but with Vulgar Display of Power, they definitely took that sound and they owned it. So yeah, that's my top 10 list of my favorite groove metal albums, and I hope you guys will take the time to go and check out some of these records that I recommended. You know, they're awesome. They're all classics. And maybe if you're somebody that doesn't know much about groove metal, hey, maybe this list and these albums that I named could be your gateway. But definitely an underrated genre, in my opinion. I don't think a lot of people really give it the credit it deserves, because I do believe it had a very lasting impact on metal. You know, I think that it very much had an impact on the new metal scene that will start to arise later on. I mean, if you listen to Korn's first album, I think that record has a lot of groove metal elements in it. I think a lot of the riffs, the downtuned guitars, I think a lot of it has a lot of Machine Head, kind of Pantera-ish influence in the sound. And then there was even a moment in industrial metal where a lot of the bands were kind of getting groovy with their rhythms and their riffs and such. And even in Djent, if you listen to Djent, as much as people hate on Djent and decry it and want to burn your house down for listening to it, if you listen to Djent, that's why I'm a bit of a fan of Djent music, man, because a lot of that groove metal element is implemented in that sound. There's even in metalcore, if you listen to some of these metalcore bands, maybe not the generic bland ones, but the actual good ones, you can hear some of those Machine Head, Pantera-ish, and even Meshuggah grooves implemented into that sound. So, you know, groove metal definitely has, you know, a lasting impact on the metal scene. I think that it just helped to birth other newer genres or other genres afterwards. But the influence that a lot of these bands, a lot of these albums that I just named, definitely, it created a legacy that I think has still that still continues now. You know, some more newer bands like Ginger. You know, I listen to Ginger and there's a lot of groove in their sound. You know, even Periphery has it. Periphery, I hear it in Periphery. A lot of these bands, you know, groove metal was there, man. It's almost become like a standard formula in a lot of these newer bands out here, man. Because a lot of these bands, they grew up listening to Pantera and Machine Head and such, man. That was their era. Like, these bands are like their Iron Maidens and Judas Priest or whatever. In a lot of ways, these were the bands that really influenced them. So, yeah, groove metal definitely created a whole nother generation of newer bands that we're hearing now, for better or for worse. You know, it depends on your style. And, you know, I even kind of hear it in deathcore a little bit. I even kind of hear it in the deathcore, and it definitely kind of seeped into death metal. You know, if you listen to some of Cannibal Corpse's albums from like the mid to late 90s, they started to implement a little bit of that groove in their sound. So it's definitely a genre of music that I think should get a bit more recognition. And there should be more bands that get recognized for pioneering outside of Pantera. I know Pantera was the big band that really blew it up, but you know, I mentioned Prong, and you know, White Zombie, you know, Los Exorcisto. All of these records were responsible. And even Exhorter. Exhorter was doing it before most of those bands were doing it. I think Exhorter was doing it like in the late 80s, like 86, 87, they had developed that style. But you know, it is what it is, man. But it's one of my favorite subgenres of metal. I enjoy listening to it. I think it's interesting, and I'm glad that there were some musicians out there that really took the time to actually create something new that to this day, here even in 2021, as I'm recording this episode, has had a lasting impact on the metal scene. And you can hear tidbits and pieces of it sprinkled throughout a lot of these newer upcoming bands. So groove metal is definitely a great subgenre of music that I enjoy, and I'm glad to see that its legacy is still continuing in a lot of these newer bands, man. But that's all that I have for this episode, and hope to see you guys for the next one. Once again, this is LB. You're tuned into the Boombox Guru. Peace. What's good, everybody? Hope you enjoyed this new episode of the Boombox Guru. And if you did enjoy this episode, I want you guys to do me a favor. I want you to follow me on Spotify at the Boombox Guru. Check it out on Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public. You can also follow my Instagram page at the Boombox Guru. You can also like my page on Facebook, known as the Boombox Guru. Just go ahead and check me out. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody that you know that might be interested in this type of content about the Boombox Guru. And as always, hope everyone has a lovely day and be blessed.